reggae at 8 p.m. and get in your jammies at 10 p.m.
See You at the Show recognizes and acknowledges that we gather today on Indigenous land, the traditional homeland of the people of Kickapoo, Peoria, Kaskaskia, Miamia, and Othechi Sakowin, which was taken through deception, coercion, violence, and genocide. We acknowledge the continued displacement and oppression of Native people and honor their commitments to survival, identity, and the protection of our world. We also acknowledge that the United States was built at the often fatal expense of forcefully enslaved Black people. We acknowledge those who still cannot safely walk down the street or fully enjoy fundamental civil rights and freedoms. We acknowledge that our twin cities and county remain segregated and inequitable. We aim to cultivate space for Black stories to be uplifted and for Black lives to be celebrated. We pledge to infuse our work with the true values of anti-racism. We offer these acknowledgments and experiences into this space with respect and gratitude, along with our intention to spark more awareness, compassion, and empathy for every life in our community. See You at the Show. This is Eric Schacht, and I am here in the studio, as always, with Linda Marie Evans. How are you today, Linda?
I'm good. I just can't believe it's December 9th. December 9th.
Tomorrow, in double digits.
Already. It just doesn't seem possible. November went by way too quickly, because there was so much theater, and we have stuff coming up already.
Yeah, it was just, when we were updating the See You at the Show website, and almost everything, in fact, everything that I entered today was 2022.
Yeah.
And it's stuff that is not that far away. There are auditions and shows going up, and 2022 seems like a fantasy number, and we're 3 weeks away. So that's pretty crazy.
It is crazy.
And speaking of See You at the Show website, we have lots of information on there. If you have not visited it regularly, and you are an enthusiast of Central Illinois Theater, which you probably are unless you're just stuck on this channel randomly, because that's all we're going to be talking about for the next 26 minutes and 15 seconds.
Lucky you.
You should go to www.cuattheshow.com, where you can find out everything that's playing, coming, auditions, look at reviews, and just generally explore theater resources. And if you have ideas that we that would be useful for the theater community to have, we would be happy to host them or collaborate with you to share them.
And if you see something that we missed, let us know. If you saw one of the shows because you saw it on our resource page, let us know. And we also are asking for feedback right now on our Facebook page about safety in watching theater.
I guess that's a decent place to start.
Is that a segue?
I think it was a pretty smooth one. We don't have guests in the studio today. We're kind of at least in a performance lull, although the theater community is buzzing away with announcements of shows and seasons and auditions and cast lists.
There's a performance tomorrow.
There is.
And we're going to an event tonight, which isn't a performance, but still.
Well, don't be so vague, Linda.
Why don't we talk about, since we already started talking about the survey, let's talk about the survey first.
Okay, so
survey says.
Well, it's too bad that we're not like a multimedia experience right now, because this would be fun to kind of put things up. And it would also be, and one thing I toyed with the idea of doing call-ins today, because I think it would be interesting to have people call in with their opinions on this issue. And that's one of the things we were soliciting in survey form. Although I hope that if people find that there were issues about theater safety that were not addressed in the survey, that they would feel free to comment on the post. I mean, it's been shared around a good bit so far already today. It was just posted on the Bloomington Theater resource page. Basically, what we're trying to do is gauge and assess and try to better understand what the theater community's feelings are about COVID safety, both from an audience standpoint and a performance standpoint. Over the past year and a half, this is one of the things we've been talking about ever since the pandemic happened. How does theater continue and continue safely? And for the first 6 months and beyond, that was exclusively through creativity in Zoom and virtual sorts of performances. And gradually different theater companies started dabbling in other forms. Danville in particular had both Red Mask Players and DLO were some of the earliest theater companies to put forth shows post-COVID. And so we're just trying to, we've got a lot of experience now. Just in the past 2 months, I think, Linda, you and I have seen 16 shows live, and those have been by, I think, a dozen different theater companies. So we've got our own experiences of what people are doing and what we find safe. So all that intro.
And I think it depends for us. It's dependent a lot on what the space is like, how much you can distance and things like that.
Correct. And we've had a huge advantage being enabled in most cases to preview shows. So
we
don't have to undertake a lot of the considerations that audiences, members, or potential viewers of a play would have to consider. How crowded is it going to be? Who am I going to sit next to? How close am I comfortable being to the stage, et cetera? What sort of spacing? Are there going to be seats blocked off in between? So one of the things our survey tried to do was capture some of these thoughts. And so let's just kind of talk about the questions and the answers. Or the responses. The first question was, what should be required for audiences of live indoor theater? So we had a great experience just two nights ago at Cranert.
Right.
Going to see the Oratorio Society with, I think it was the Illini Symphony. And that was the first time that we've undergone a vax check.
Right. We've been to Cranert a few times, but this is the first time since they required vaccines.
Yeah, so I think it was just, I remember the day, I think it was November 17th, they came out and said, going forward from now on, if you see a show at Cranert, you need to have vax proof.
And we personally applaud that, and I thank them for it. And it was an easy step. We just went in, and I had my vaccine card as a picture on my phone and showed my ID, and they had tables set up kind of in the middle with
I think
people?
There were at least eight.
Because
there were four facing two different directions.
Right.
And so this was separate from ticketing, both where you go and get your tickets, purchase, will call, et cetera. That's over on, west side. And then the show we were going to see was in Folinger Great Hall, which is over on then, I think on the east side or whatever. But the COVID, the vax / negative test station was in the middle.
Right.
And you either needed to show proof of your vaccination, full vaccination status, or within the last 48-hour negative COVID test. And it was simple. And then you got a little wristband that then the ticket takers asked to see before they looked at your ticket.
Right.
And I thought that was a great process. So I think it's good for us to know when we're helping produce shows and if there's anybody else out there that's going to be in that capacity. I think separating the vax check process from the either ticket buying / ticket checking was a really nice step.
Right.
Because sometimes that involved, I could tell that some people, it was more of a little bit of a delay. In my case, I didn't have my traditional vax card because my wallet was stolen with my vax card in it. So I've got uploaded from my MyCarl account, which showing the dates that I had it and what type of vax I had, and that's sufficient proof. But anyway, so sometimes it's a little bit
right. Tricky. So then there's less stress of lines and things like that. So kudos to Cranert for doing that.
Yeah.
Be nice to the people doing that and taking your tickets and stuff like that, because they're just following rules. And maybe it takes a couple extra minutes. But for us, I didn't even notice. It was really a matter of less than a minute.
Definitely less than a minute.
Yeah.
And they have the advantage of space and staff. Mm-hmm. But I think it is definitely a lesson. And I think more people are going to come. Definitely more people will come to the show because you're checking vax than if you are not.
It made me feel more comfortable.
Yeah, I think more people will feel comfortable and go than there would be a few people who either aren't vaxxed or don't believe in the process or something like that. So let's just all remember this is about keeping each other safe. And this is about theater perpetuating. So if theater cannot be done safely, theater will be shut down again.
Right, and so, we don't want that. We want it to continue, and we want people to be safe.
So interestingly, right now there's 24 responses in, so it's still pretty early in the survey.
Right.
But 71% of them feel that audiences should be vaccinated and masked. I think every show we've been to has, almost every show has had a mask requirement.
Except for the one at
the
Park
Kingdom
One.
Of Dreams.
Kingdom of Dreams.
Yeah, there were
at
people
the
there.
Time, at there the was time. Not a mask requirement, but now there is a
Park. And that was an independent production, and Parkland, I guess, didn't have a superseding rule. That was still during the
summer. At that point, yeah.
Right.
But now they do.
So. And so every other theater that we've been at has had a mask requirement. I think the first few that we saw at Red Mask was not very well enforced.
They had a mask requirement until you were at your seat.
Right. And since then, subsequent shows at Red Mask have been, you need to stay masked. I don't think any of the theaters have been like movie theaters where you're allowed to have food or beverage at your seat. So that really is not an issue.
I heard, The Virginia Theater was the one that I heard people were eating. But the show that we went to see, it was short and there was no food. So, we're all trying to figure it out. So
out of the 24 people, nobody felt it was premature for audiences to return to live theater. Only one person said there should be no safety requirements. Return at your own risk. So good. Sorry that there's even one. But we know that there's a. We don't live in a perfect society. Then let's see. Okay, So of the 24 people, 17 thought test and mask, and 5 thought mask only, no vax. So really pretty everybody agrees you have to be masked if you're going to go to a show. I don't see any resistance to that. And further, I think the shows, to a large extent, with a few exceptions, have not been having intermissions, or if there's been intermissions, they have not been providing food and drink.
Right.
And that, I think, is staying true to the idea of we're masked for the event. There aren't exceptions.
Right, because it gets confusing once you say you can take your mask off to eat or drink. Right.
And certainly some shows require for bathroom breaks or for going to get a drink of water or something like that.
Right.
Do require that. Heartland does have water available during their intermissions.
Mm-hmm. Bottled
but,
water.
But they no longer serve like Grandma's Favorite Cookies. I think it's a thing. We've never been to a Heartland show pre-COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the Station Theater, I think they have a thing that's like you can count on having cookies available
and
during
coffee.
Intermission.
Yeah.
And not right now.
Right.
I mean, maybe we'll be there again someday, but Heartland does a lot of things right, and that's one I thought that is very nice. They make bottled water available. In addition, I think there are drinking fountains on premises, but you don't really have an excuse for being without a mask at any time. And I've never seen anybody. You can see every crowd. You can see the rest of the audience in the Heartland Theater in the Round. And I have not observed anybody being lax with masks there. So that's great that we're all supporting each other. Question number 2 on the survey was, what should be required for casts of live indoor theater? And so this is something we've kind of been, just in our capacity as board members and in CEO at the show, as we're considering producing our first show coming up this winter. 62.5% of the people said that cast members should be vaccinated but not have a masking requirement. And then 30% said cast members should be vaccinated and masked always. That's just really a tough call.
Right. And again, I think it depends on the space and if you can socially distance, what's expected of the actors during the show, all those things.
Yeah. One in later questions, so if you go to See You at the Show Facebook page, it's the easiest way to take a look at the survey and hopefully participate in it yourself.
We should do more surveys.
I think, well, let's start doing more surveys.
Yeah.
And let's try to figure out a way to take questions. And right now, the best way for you to ask a question, if you're listening and you're by your computer, is to comment on our Facebook post. And if you have
something
to say. Or send
us a message through Facebook. Yeah.
And we can get those live on the fly. And we'll probably figure out better ways for if there's interest in communicating with us as we're on the air. The takeaway here, I suppose, is that, I wanted to put pictures up, and I did in later questions to show what those clear masks that they use at Heartland. I don't want to continue to talk about Heartland, but it's mostly. But if you're out there and if you're associated with Heartland, this is all props on your part. I really think that those clear masks are completely inobtrusive. I played, as you know,
in a pickleball tournament
with the Heartland
all day
mask on all day, 5 hours of pickleball, 14 matches, and it never interfered with my breathing whatsoever. I would not maintain that this provided me with a whole lot of safety, but it was it's a food service grade sort of mask. It protects against particles going out and being expelled to those around me. And it also is me acknowledging that I understand there's a mask requirement. I'm wearing one.
And it was more than people putting the masks and putting them on their chins and not covering at all.
Exactly. And so there are pictures of this mask. I'm a very strong proponent of this mask in particular. For when there's a gray area, this, I think, is a bridge to satisfy those people who think that it interferes with either the visual quality, the expressive quality, or the sound quality. I don't think you can make that about any of these. You see a little string connecting, coming from the person's cheek to their ear, and really that's about it.
Right, that's it.
There were several times when we're sitting 20 feet from the actors at Heartland, and I was
completely
unaware that there was masks.
Right, yeah, definitely.
So you can see some pictures if you go to the survey site. And it seems as though we have about a 2/3% of the people say, first of all, everybody says the cast should be vaccinated. And that's a great thing for, I think, a theater company to be able to say both and make sure they say it up front. That was one thing when I go to the Parkland audition page now SpongeBob the Musical auditions. I don't see anything here about what the requirement is for vaccination, masking, et cetera. So wait a minute, hold on. There's a theater letter of agreement. I don't want to,
we'll update you more as more people fill out our survey. But we also want to talk about what's going on because we've only got 12 minutes left.
Well,
what the heck?
Are you jumping me away from discussing our survey?
Unless you have one more thing to say. I'm rushing you along. Sorry.
All right. So let's just see. Interesting things about the theater. Most people think, half people think intermission food is okay. People do think that masking can detract from ability to see emotions, to ability to understand. A couple people said that. And then masking distracted from the quality of the sound and performance. But again, I would encourage people to take a look at the pictures that I have of the clear masks and to give those a shot.
And the masks with just the clear around the mouth.
Yeah,
too.
Right. There's right. There's I think
which
four,
is what I have tonight.
There's four levels. There's a standard fabric mask. There's an actor/singer mask, which has more of like the. What would you call that? Almost like a horse-looking protrusion?
Let's not call it that. I don't think people want to wear it. And also, when we talked about what we went to Cranor to see, the singers, except for the soloists, all kept their masks on while singing. And a lot of the symphony also kept their masks on, even like the brass and wind instruments and flutes and stuff like that, I was really, really impressed with, they had like either holes in their masks. I was too far away to see, but.
Yeah, I saw them just strap it down around the.
No, some of them kept them up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to your mom about that. And she was like, yeah, the flute has like an interesting opening so they can just put the flute in. I don't know. It was quite impressive. And obviously they were taking it seriously as they can.
Well, and certainly the sound was incredible. And we've seen this also at like the Central Cabaret. They were all masked. And I thought the sound was incredible. So
yeah.
Obviously nobody loves the fact that we're in a pandemic and that we need to take precautions, but it can be done with creativity, and there are simple solutions to these problems. So anyway, fill out my survey, our survey. It's See You at the Show. You can find it on the Facebook page. We'll keep advertising it and we'll keep running surveys.
And we want to hear from you. Tonight, come to Sustaining the Complexity, a mosaic of Lynn Nottage, and that is at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. We're going to go there tonight, and it's from 7 to 9. It's an installation. It sounds like you can just kind of walk through and see and learn more about Lynn Nottage.
So looking forward to it.
That's what's going on.
And there will be performers that you'll probably know.
Right, and people who are familiar with Sweat. You've seen Sweat.
Mm-hmm. Saw it at the station. What was that, 3 years ago probably?
I think so. And Lynn Nottage is one of the great living playwrights that you can learn more about tonight. If you have nothing else going on, come see that.
And tomorrow there's some free theater in town.
No, exciting. If you are not auditioning for, by the way, Meet Vera Stark, which you should be auditioning for that at the Station Theater. But
I'm trying to keep me on track, and then you're mixing and matching sections.
I am
Now, we're in the now playing.
Well, wait.
/ coming soon
section. If you are not coming to auditions, or you are auditioning on Saturday, then tomorrow night you can go to.
It's called Buyer and Seller, a solo comedy by Jonathan Tolens. So this is at the Urbana Free Theater. It's presented in association with the Illinois Department of Theater. This is a one-person show starring AJ Paramo or Paramo.
Paramo,
probably.
And if you went to
Kingdom of Dreams.
Kingdom of Dreams, AJ was the Tin Man, and they are amazing. And
they pretty much kind of stole that show.
I would pretty much see anything with AJ in it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I can't go because I'm going to be at auditions tomorrow night to help out running them. I'm not auditioning. But if you aren't auditioning, go.
Right. So this show is at 7:30. It's in room 160 at the Armory. Which
one
is
night only.
Down Sorry. At the intersection of, it's like at 4th and Gregory.
That's happening tomorrow.
I've never been to theater at the Armory. I know that's where a lot of the theater classes are taught. A lot of the student groups run their theater programs out of the Armory. So it's too bad that we won't be able to check it out.
I know. I'm super sad.
And so what is going on tomorrow that you've hinted at
twice? At the Station Theater.
We've got some auditions.
Am I hinting? Auditions for, by the way, Meet Vera Stark by Lynn Nottage. There's a theme. There's a theme going on. 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock tomorrow night, December 10th, or 2 to 4 on Saturday, December 11th. If you cannot make either one of those, let me know, and we will see what we can do about, you know, maybe doing a Zoom audition or something like that.
This is the Station Theater's first big production.
It's our first big production. It's exciting.
It's post-COVID, and it's directed by Tom Schnare, who's
very, very diverse cast. We want everyone to come out and audition. So there's slots for everybody.
Right. So the best way to find out about it would be at the, you can get links through the Station Theater Facebook page. Search for Celebration Company
or
the
website.
Station Theater. Or the Station Theater website, and you can also find it on a direct link from the auditions tab on seeyouattheshow.com.
Lots of amazing people involved. Already have, you know, director, assistant director, all of those people in place, and they're amazing, and it's going to be so much fun.
What's involved in the audition?
There's sides that you can.
So you don't need to prep anything in advance?
You don't have to prep things in advance. So if you want to take a look at them, you can.
Yeah, so this is a show that's going to be rehearsing from early January through mid-February and then going up February 24th to March 6th. Is that the same length of run as we were used to? Is that a 3-week run or just a 2-week run?
I thought it was just 2 weeks. I should know. Stop it. Don't do that.
I think it's just a 2-week
run.
Yeah,
it's only 2 weeks.
Going from March 24th. Yeah, that's only 2 weeks.
Right. But the other auditions that are super important that we want to talk about, are we ready?
Super important, are they?
Are we ready to talk about Fireflies?
Yeah. So we'll close the show today, or I don't know if it'll be the complete wrap of the show, but we have I guess it's kind of an announcement.
We haven't really put anything out in writing,
but it is on the website. It's real.
Our first See You at the Show that won't be on the radio, although it'd be cool if we could do some sort of radio tie-in. You're like shaking your head like,
I'm thinking that there's a very good chance that we can. I mean,
yeah.
I think we're all looking at this as something that's going to be like a 60 to 70 minute one act. When we've read through the script before, that's usually about what it's been.
Right.
It is a two-person play. You and I first read this play back in last June.
Long time
when
ago.
We were kind of beginning our quest to do something to make a difference in the inclusivity and diversity in the Champaign area, Champaign-Urbana area theater community. And we subsequently applied for a grant from the Urbana Arts Council and were given a grant to make this real.
And Jalen Hope agreed to direct it, one of our favorites, super excited. And she has all these ideas and she's going to be amazing.
She's a brilliant young theater mind. We've seen her direct before. She did Learning to Drive at Parkland. I could not believe that was... Oh, it's so ironic, remember? Because when we were talking about her directing that... We were also talking about how Tom Schnare directed that at the station, and now here we are again.
And now Tom Schnare is doing, by the way, Meet Vera Stark. He's directing that, and then Jalen's directing Fireflies. It was meant to be.
Serendipitous.
Right. And if you are interested in behind the scenes or auditioning for Fireflies, let us know. We need a production team, and we need actors. So let us know if you want to get involved.
Yeah, there's preliminary audition information. We want to make this as easy as possible for anybody who's curious or interested, maybe hasn't acted before. We're going to do video submissions over the next week or two. We have a separate tab just called Fireflies. It's seeyouattheshow.com, and it has information, a little bit about what Jalen's thoughts are about the show and about what we're looking for in the male and female African-American actors who are going to lead this beautiful story of a couple.
We're looking at possibly having two dancers too. So if you're a dancer,
we don't have any information about that on the website.
No,
but if
we don't.
But if you dance,
let us know.
We might need you.
Right, exactly. So many fun things coming up. Check out our website. Check up our Facebook page, and come see everything and go audition. There's other auditions coming up, right? Or is that it?
Well, no, we had a couple casts announced this week. We had a cast announced for at Parkland for
10 out of 12. That's such a great cast. I can't wait to see.
Yeah, we posted the cast. Parkland posted the cast. It is a really fun cast. I think it's going to be a great show. A lot of people who...
A lot of familiar names.
Familiar names and unfamiliar names.
Right.
And familiar names who we haven't seen on stage in a long time because we haven't seen hardly anybody on stage in a long time. So that's really exciting. And then we also had the Bridges of Madison County, which is a DLO musical.
Right.
And it's just great to see that right now I really feel like Champaign-Urbana Theater really is Champaign. It's this whole area because when we see casts in Monticello and Bloomington and Danville, Decatur, there's Champaign people there. And vice versa, I think... I know that some people from Danville are coming into audition for SpongeBob next month. So I think if anything that we can do to, help just kind of...
Right, our community isn't just the Twin Cities.
And no fiefdoms. Like, you're not just like an actor of one company or one theater or the other. We all love theater. Let's all keep
supporting each other out.
Other theater companies and supporting actors and making it safe. And
you are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This has been the WEFT Courier for Thursday. Join us for the WEFT Courier.